enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good and fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ on CBS Sky Radio. We're here every week at 4 p.m., so please join us. Today on Fire It Up with CJ, we're beginning, or we're continuing to talk about the beginning of the school year. And this month we'll be focused on parenting and building our awareness and how we can lovingly communicate and support our kids. I love that introduction, lovingly communicate, because I'm sure there was some unloving communication going on this week when after the first week of school wore off. At least it did in my household.
I think that that's probably natural, because I think the kids are stressed out, I think. Well, welcome, everyone. It's CJ from the Fire It Up with CJ show. And, it's a perfect way to introduce this segment, because I don't know about you, but and I don't even know if this happens every school year, but you always kind of anxiously wonder, are my kids meeting someone? Are they, like, my son just started high school. What is it like? Is he having a good time? Is he enjoying school? I don't know if I'm doing an okay job or not, but, you kind of want to pull all this information out of
you
them
know what?
About, like, what's going.
I can probably attest to the fact you're doing a wonderful job. He would never say that. I'm sure he's like, whatever, Mom. But high school's hard. High school is very hard for these children. We're sending them into a battle zone. It is insane. When I go to school with my daughter, I just am amazed at what I'm walking through.
I know.
And thinking, I put my child in that every day. But then it's getting them ready for college, because I have one in college, and we'll talk as yours get older. See, I can give you all my good advice.
Yes.
But, we are sending them into this. We don't know what's going on every day, and we worry as parents.
Yeah.
I understand your worry, because I did it. I sent mine from parochial school into public high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was scary.
Well, we have Vanessa Van Patten, and she has a really wonderful role in that. She doesn't describe herself this way, but I kind of look at her work as a mediator between teens who she has a really good rapport with and parents who she has a really good rapport with. And she is going to be talking to us about how to have a productive conversation versus me, which I'm like mining for information in a desperate kind of pathetic way. So welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, so what is happening to our poor children in the beginning of school? I mean, we probably know all the kind of typical things, but what are the kind of nuanced things that you hear from kids that are happening?
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of the issues are the same between parents and kids, sort of they want their independence, they're growing up, but the nuances are changing, and I think technology has a lot to do with that. One of the big ones that we're seeing is we have a group of teen interns on our website, and we have about 300 of them. They answer questions from parents, and they have this sort of confession area. And I've been noticing that in their confession area, when talking about back to school, one thing that they've been talking about a lot is that they fight most frequently now about the boundaries between online and offline life and school and home and social life. That before technology, you could go to school and get in a fight with a friend, and you would come home, and you sort of got a break, you had a snack, you talked to your mom, you talked to your brother, you went to bed, and the next day, you had a little bit of time to think it over. Now, you get in a fight with a friend at school, you hop on your cell phone, you text your other friend, you get home, you go on Facebook, you chat with them, you write on their wall, you defriend them, you block them. Like, there's no separation. And I hadn't really thought about it that way, but teenagers above anyone else, they desperately need that break, that way to step back and say, wait a minute, do I really want to send this person this foul text message? Do I really want to do that? They more than anyone need that break. So I think that one of the best things that parents can do for this back to school season is actually build in those boundaries right away. So, for example, I always encourage parents to set up two different users for their child on their home computer or on their child's personal computer, so that they have a school user where all of their chat programs are uninstalled, social networking websites aren't bookmarked, they don't have games on that user. And so when they get home from school, they can only log on to that school user to do homework, because a lot of kids say, well, I need the computer to do homework. So that's fine. They have a school user for it. And then on the weekends, or maybe when they have a break after dinner, if you have that rule in your house, they can go on their personal user, which has their games, which, if you allow it, has some of their virtual world or social networks. It is a way of building in separation, and I think that kids and teens are desperate for it.
Yeah, it's a transition. I know, I think in your book, Do I Get My Allowance Before or After I'm Grounded? You talk about those transitions and how important they are. And what they're doing essentially is creating a boundary between the madness at school. I hear that. So what, you know, oftentimes, and social media is a great one, because I think that's one that as parents we just don't fundamentally get. We're like, what is going on with you? Why are you on there all the time? What is going on? You know? And I guess it seems like we, and so this was a generalized question, like when we're, and I feel like I'm probably misreading the situation. Why as parents do we usually misread the situation, and what are the typical things we're misreading with our teens?
So there's a couple different things. First is, you know, I teach body language and social intelligence. It's one of the things I'm really passionate about, because I think that a lot of the times we forget to read to know how we're saying something in addition to what we're saying. And teenagers especially will say to you, whatever, or I'm fine. But as parents, you know that they're not fine, and it's not just whatever. And you actually can get a lot from their nonverbal. And so that's one of the reasons I teach a lot of body language. And I think that one of the biggest things that parents misread actually is a body language cue, which is that they confuse anger for fear. A lot of the times when teenagers, they say that they're angry, or they act like they're irritated or frustrated, but actually what they're feeling is afraid. They're afraid of their vulnerabilities. They're afraid of getting in trouble. They're afraid of what you're going to think of them. They're afraid of not knowing. You know, teenagers want to just know everything. They want to be in the know. They want to feel like they have control of everything. And so on my website, I have a whole bunch of free micro-expression guides. And if you have a chance, I would highly recommend you look at the difference between anger and fear. And I can explain what these are. So anger, the easiest way to tell the difference is that fear is when the upper whites of the eyes show. That's the absolute easiest way to tell. So if you are talking to your child and you're talking about something or mentioning something and you see that their eyelids widen and you can see the whites above their pupils, that's for you to just take a moment and go, okay, there's something here that is fearful. A micro-expression is an involuntary facial expression that we make, and we actually can't control them. They're universal. There are seven universal expressions, and fear is one of them. So when you see those upper whites of the eye across cultures, across genders, it means that something you said makes them feel afraid, and it's always easier to identify the fear than it is to dispel anger.
Yeah, and that's a good one. So then that's one, the upper whites of the eye, and that's, and sometimes it's, they're not even looking at you. So that, I'm like, okay, well, how would I tell that if they're not looking at you? Because you're driving in the car and you ask something, and, you know, you can't see their eyes necessarily unless you get into a car accident.
I think that a lot of parents have a lot of deep conversations with their kids in the car. And I totally understand that it can be good, because it's sort of like teens will open up as you're driving. The only problem is you are not looking them in the eye. You cannot read their body language, which I think is really hard. And a lot, teenagers have told us that sometimes they feel trapped by the conversations in the car. And so what I would recommend, and maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's what you're hoping for, but what I would recommend is if there's a particularly tense topic, or you've tried something in the car and you haven't gotten very far, you know, like they kind of go, yep, it's fine, no worries, you know, try it again while reading their body language face-to-face. A, it's harder to lie to someone when you're looking them in the eye. So that is an easier way to get into emotional expression. And then also, when I have had particularly open moments with my parents when I was a teenager, I would sometimes tell them, you know, sometimes you talk to me in the car and it's like I'm not in the mood. So if you're having a particularly open moment with your teenager, you can say, you know, sometimes I love to catch up on the way to school or on the way to practice. Do you like that, or would you prefer I talk to you at home or after dinner? Just even asking them is such a great rapport builder, and it's because it shows that you respect their time and their mood.
Actually, my youngest son says to me, when he's not in the mood, he's like, I'm not in the mood for this afternoon. It's like, don't ask me questions. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll just turn on the radio and listen. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. He's not in the mood. And it's not to take it personally. I mean, what I'm reading from is like, I'm overwhelmed. I've had like a long day and I really don't want to be listening to your mommy chitter chatter right now. So I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. And also what's funny is, you know, teenagers have cycles of moods even more than adults. So your child's cycle might be that they're very chatty after school. They want to sort of debrief with you. Absolutely. That's great. Some kids are totally wiped after school and are still in school mode, and they need to have their snack. They need to come home and, like, relax a little bit. Some kids like to play sports. So you could actually – I love having very candid conversations with teenagers. It's amazing how introspective they are. Actually, even boys, if you really are open with them and talk to them, you can ask them – you know, what is the best time of day? When are you feeling most talkative?
Mm-hmm.
When do you feel the least talkative? Even asking them that question is a great way for them to sort of self-reflect. And I've noticed that with boys especially if they're not talking boys, you can ask them that question, and they might not answer you. They might be like, I don't know. That's weird, Mom. You're being weird. But they will think about it. And a few days later, you might notice they have figured it out. So sometimes it takes them a few days to just process what you ask them. Again, teens never like to say that they don't know.
I love that. So that's one way of getting them to open up, is kind of getting them to kind of tell us when they want to open up. What are some other ideas? We have a couple more minutes. What are some other ideas that you have for getting them to open up to us?
There's a couple things. First is making sure that you are following their cycles. So get them at their peak. I think another one is also activity-based bonding is the best. All of our teens say that they feel like sometimes their parents make a list of all the things they want to talk to them about, and they like sit down with them at the dinner table or go out in the car and say, so tell me about your thoughts about college. So tell me about, as if it's like a checklist kind of a thing. And I think that we all do this. I mean, I even do this with my husband. So, like, it's definitely they're picking up on something correct. So what works really well is activity-based talking and opening up, you know, making regular activity-based dates. So, like, mini golfing, going to the arcade, going ice skating, going hiking, going whatever it is, it really helps that there's an activity going on, because it takes the pressure off them feeling grilled. And also when we're doing activity, our endorphins are flowing. We're much more likely to talk. Our body language is also open. You know, sitting in the car, listening to your phone or texting is extremely closed body language. And so it's very hard to even mentally open up.
Right. And the funny thing is though, as they're shooting people at the arcade with their guns, it's hard to kind of have a conversation about college, I would imagine, though.
You know, you'd be surprised, actually. I was talking to one of my dad readers, and he said that he plays online like shoot 'em up games with his teenage son when he's on business trips. And he says it's so weird, because when I'm home and I sit down to quote unquote catch up with him, like I've set aside time to catch up with him, he says absolutely nothing. But when we're on the headset playing Halo together, he'll tell me about the girls he's seeing. He'll tell me about the college website he checked out. It's because they're playing the game and he's not like feeling like he's being grilled in front of him. And so you'd actually be surprised at how much they will open up even when it doesn't seem relevant necessarily.
Oh, all right. I don't know if I want to play Halo, though. All right. So
yeah, I don't either. I know.
We have Vanessa Van Patten, winner of the Mom's Choice Award and author of Do I Get My Allowance Before or After I'm Grounded? Up ahead, we're going to be talking about how to know if your child is lying to you. To get more information about upcoming shows and shows just like this, we have a great parenting section. Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.